So this concern for security was then what? Transferred into massive cover-up, massive censorship? Why did they take that direction and decide not to be a little more forthright with all this?
Well, initially there was quite a lot of concern that there was some kind of an invasion going on. And if you,
go get yourself. You want some water or something?
Yeah, let me just get a drink here.
Go ahead. Go get that and take care of that for a while. Clear your throat because you're going to be on with us for many hours.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Hey, it happens. It's my biggest nightmare, by the way, for myself, you know.
There was a news clip that I put on my website. It was taken from the New York Times in 1954. And in this clip, which you read earlier, President Eisenhower actually made a public statement denying that the Earth was being invaded by flying saucers from outer space. Now, that seems incredible in today's atmosphere, but at the time, that was a genuine concern because, remember, in the early 50s, there was relatively little press censorship at that time, and a lot of the reports that they were getting were coming from commercial airline pilots and test pilots, military pilots, people of that caliber. And the reports were very, very clear and unambiguous. These were not sightings of glowing blobs of light or anything like that. These were physical objects seen in daylight, sometimes formations of objects flying together. I have a number of those clips on my website also for anyone who wants to look at those. So, there was not much ambiguity about the reality of this phenomenon in the early 50s. Now, over time, the government took a number of measures to try to eliminate those types of stories from the newspaper. They made UFOs a security issue and required that civilian commercial airline pilots had to report these to the military. And once they did that, they became classified information under the national security laws and therefore could not be disclosed to the news media. So that was one of the things they did. Another thing was that they pressured the airline companies to come down on their pilots and tell them in no uncertain terms that they were not to talk to the media about these types of sightings.
See, I didn't know that, Terry, and that could very well then be a reason why we would think we would get a lot of pilot reports, but they were always silent about this stuff.
Exactly, and the pilot reports began to slowly disappear, and by the late 1950s, there were very few pilot reports being made. Now, there was a protest, by the way. 450 pilots signed a petition on the East Coast, commercial airline pilots, protesting the fact that the Air Force was censoring their sightings. And this was written up in a newspaper called the, it was Newark, New Jersey. It'll come to me here in a minute.
And when was that, roughly?
The article, I believe, was, let me see here. I think it was 1958.
Okay, so quite a ways ago.
Yeah, that news clip is on my website in its entirety. So basically, you know, it came down to whether you wanted to keep your job or not. If you had a UFO sighting, you just learned after a while that it wasn't going to advance your career to talk to somebody in the media. I once had a former Braniff airline pilot come up to me and tell me about his sighting. He had a sighting sometime in the early 60s, and both he and his co-pilot saw this craft. It flew alongside their DC-3 for some time, and I asked him, you know, what would happen if you had gone to the press with this story, and he said, well, I would have been given a psychiatric evaluation, and that would have been the end of my flying career. So we knew, you know, that this was something that we could not talk about openly.
Did anybody, in any report that you may have been privy to or find, ever stress the concern that these were hostile vehicles or craft?
I think that was certainly a concern on the part of the military. I mean, if you know, put yourself in the position of a scientific intelligence officer trying to determine what the modus operandi of these vehicles is. You know that they're surveilling our military facilities and port facilities and things like that, but what's their real intention? Are they hostile? Are they just, you know, checking us out? What's really going on? I think early on they probably didn't know the answer to that, and that was probably why they began to torque down on some of this news coverage via censorship and the Robertson panel and various other things that were done to try to eliminate press coverage.
Do you believe, Terry, that there were deals cut with these extraterrestrials, as some people have reported, where governments trade information for whatever these people, these extraterrestrials want?
Well, I've heard that rumor and that story. I have no way of knowing whether it's really true. But, if you go back and read the actual newspaper accounts of these encounters between commercial airliners and UFOs, it seemed to me that what these UFOs were doing was demonstrating their presence in no uncertain terms. In other words, they would fly alongside or fly in front of an airliner as if to say, here we are, this is what we can do. And it seemed to me that this was a prelude to contact. That they were sort of, saying, here we are, and where it went from there, I don't know. But there, a number of people have claimed that contact of some sort did take place between the aliens, if you want to call them that, and the United States government, and it was simply never disclosed publicly because the government decided that the public wasn't ready for it.
And what about Brookings, the report from Brookings that simply said that people would panic, that they couldn't handle it, therefore we're going to have to suppress them and hide this information from them?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the U.S. government, before they do anything, they usually study it. And they did do a study or commissioned a study by the Brookings Institution to see what the social impact of this would be. And the conclusion was that our civilization might actually crumble and fall apart if open disclosure of contact with an advanced intelligence took place. So if you're in a policy-making position, you really have to ask yourself, do you want to risk something like that taking place? I mean, the actual destruction of our civilization. And a lot of people might think that that's a little extreme, but if you look at human history, whenever a more advanced civilization contacted a less technologically advanced civilization, the less advanced civilization usually did crumble. So it was something that they had to take, fairly seriously, I think.